I believe last week with your Moss Miami article for the Miami Herald that you did more to kill journalism than anyone I've ever seen.
Yeah, thank you.
When in an article written by yourself, you quoted yourself talking about a toenail of yours that is rotten and black and going to be on display at Moss Miami. Like, how are you not ashamed of yourself as a journalist, as someone who studied journalism? You ended journalism with an article quoting yourself about your rotten toenail. Like,
okay, I can't take the credit for ending journalism with that. I mean, it had already ended itself, but
this is the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
Okay, this is Sunday morning. We saw a beautiful recital, a winter recital today, a dance recital. And my granddaughter, Gracelyn, was the star of the show. I mean, just, everybody would say that. But what amazed me is that 80% of the kids on that stage were doing nothing.
Yes.
They were not even attempting to dance.
Well, I think the thing is that these kids, they do like weeks and weeks of meeting with these teachers and dancing and practicing, and they're never on stage in front of a room of 50 people just staring at them with their phones.
Yeah, correct.
And these kids, they're just like, as much as you say to a four-year-old, hey, you're going to be on stage at this recital, that doesn't prepare them for, oh my God, look, there's a lot of people staring at me. This is awkward. I've never done this before in my entire life. So I think it's just that. Like, it's, I believe that teacher, because the teacher knows that they're not going to perform. So at the beginning, right, she's like, I promise you, your money is going to something when they're alone with us. They dance well.
Right.
She's like, I'm telling you, they're not going to dance well out here, but that doesn't mean that your money is going to waste. Thank you. Happy holidays.
Yeah, right, exactly. Did you see the one little girl who was like just openly sobbing on stage?
Yeah.
Oh,
that was sad. Yeah, that was, you know, you wanted to give her a hug and, you know.
And there was one little girl like spiting her parents and was like looking at them, like taunting them, like, nope, I'm not doing that.
Wow.
Right.
But Gracelyn was one of the ones. Like, Gracelyn the whole time was just looking at her teacher, dancing, going along. Like, Gracelyn was.
No, she did great. And out of 40 kids, there were like 38 girls and two boys. And one of the little boys, they were wearing like little tiny white tuxedos. And one of the boys kept sitting, like just sitting down right on the stage. It was just
crisscross.
Yeah. But if you're the parent of 80% of those kids, I do think you wonder, you know, what is my kid getting out of this class?
No, Dad, literally the lady, the crying little girl, the mom was right behind me.
Oh no.
And she literally said the sentence I heard. I don't know if it was to her husband, like maybe her parent. My kid is the crier.
Oh God.
Like, she was like kind of having a moment of self, like, oh my God, okay, I need to assess my, like,
right.
She was like, she was having a look in the mirror moment of like, what do I need to do to like make my kid not the crier? I think at that age though, like, you know, that girl's probably going to go on to be like an attorney and have like a great, right, like, you know what I mean? There's no way, there's got to be no correlation of, but like, if you cry on stage at 4 years old, it means you're going to be like socially awkward your whole life.
Right.
When my daughter, she was three when we had her in dance, did it 1 year. And yeah, the girls were doing their pirouettes and she got out of line and tickled their armpits. You know, that was my daughter. She was the tickler.
Well, that's hilarious. Someone that's like noticing, okay, I'm on stage right now. I'm not really interested in doing this, but I'm going to entertain other ways.
Yeah, no idea where she gets that from. But in football, we had her in flag football. She sat down. She was the sitter. She just sat down in the middle of the field the whole time. When we had her in soccer, she was going off and talking to the other team's bench.
Yeah.
And so,
because Dad, as much as you want to throw stones here, you know, Gracelyn might have been, when we played soccer, Gracelyn had a few crying moments.
Oh, she did. She did. And she was not the, you know, if I'm being frank, she was not the star of the soccer team. You know, I mean, I do think she was the star of the recital.
Good goalie.
I can be totally objective.
Good goalie.
That's true. She did.
She was a good goalie.
She got that from you, Greg.
Okay.
You back off.
There you go.
Six-year-olds as I get as I become the defensive father.
No, you're right. You're right. And she was the best girl on our team as well, I'm allowed to say
of
that.
Of two.
Is it too early to mention our special guest today unless he stiffs us and doesn't join us, even though he said he would?
Would it be the first time or second that you've been stiffed by Dan Le Batard?
It would be the first, actually.
Wow. Baby.
Yeah, baby. That's just a terrible sexual innuendo there on your part. No, Le Batard is supposed to join us. He's on the way back from Key West. I don't know what he's had done there, but we'll talk to him about that and try to pry deeply into his private life. But he's going to join us later. But first, I think this has become a super popular segment on the podcast, meaning I have no idea why I think that, but I just do. It's my three facts, three things,
Jack,
that I did not know until this past week.
Like, you could have it called Three Facts, Jack. And like
it
instantly becomes more of a Greg Cody, it fits the show narrative, like fun. But instead, you're like, I have three facts here I'm going to read.
You're right. Three Facts, Jack, is the new name of this segment.
Yeah.
I want imaging for that. We want sound effects, bells, whistles, the whole bit.
Why do I come up with ideas? Damn it.
Three facts, Jack.
What are you damn it for? You know it's going to be me having to put it together.
No, I know, but I that's me feeling for you. I'm like, damn, it's just my brilliant idea. It's just mean more work for Yeti.
That's right.
That's what I'm here for.
Fact number three. A 10-gallon hat actually holds only 3/4 of 1 gallon, whatever is in it.
So you're saying, like, a cowboy hat is like a 10? What's a 10-gallon hat?
It's a specific hat.
Yeah, it's a specific kind of cowboy hat. I think it's a little taller and bigger. It's a big cowboy hat. It's called a 10-gallon hat.
I'm looking at
it. But it doesn't hold anywhere close to 10 gallons. It doesn't even hold 1 gallon.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at it. I think I have a hat. Let me get this.
Okay. Somebody's calling me from work here. Let me just get this real quick since he's gone anyway. Yes, sir.
You owe me another 1,000. No story holder.
Ah, shit. I forgot to do it. I'm sorry. I'm going to get this podcast. I'm doing a little bit of podcast type work now, but in like 15 minutes, I promise to get it right to you.
Very good.
Okay.
That's no problem. Thank you.
Thanks, bye.
What was that?
It was an editor of mine. I forgot to do my, it's called a cue folder. It's something I put in the system that tells them a column from me is coming later today on the Dolphin 49ers game. And I forgot to do it.
You didn't hear this, Chris. Greg says, I forgot that. And the guy says, yes, you did.
Yeah, well, he was just playing with me. He's okay.
Can we leave that in the pod? I hope we do. Dad, look, this is a 10-gallon hat.
Is it really?
I don't know. It's a cowboy hat.
Like, no, it's not a 10-gallon hat. It's not even a cowboy hat, quite frankly. It looks like a fedora.
It's more of a, it gives more fedora vibes than a, than cowboy, but yeah. It is.
It was for my Jurassic Park themed.
Right. It looks more like that.
It's an action and adventure hat. That's
yeah.
You can call it.
Exactly. Right. If you wore that to an actual cowboy event, like on the range, you would be laughed off the range by other cowboys.
All right, fine. I'll get my cowboy hat.
I actually have a proper cowboy hat. It's black, Jack. And, if this were a visual medium, I would be sprinting to get it like Christopher is. I have no idea. Now that's a cowboy hat. Okay.
So this is like, I get what you're saying though. This is supposedly a 10 gallon hat.
I wouldn't call that a cowboy hat either. That's a, well, yeah. Okay. The bend, the way it bends on the side.
The hell are you guys talking about? I'm looking online at a 10 gallon hat and it looks exactly like the hat I just wore, honestly, more than even this one.
Okay. That's a cowboy hat.
It comes by folk etymology from the Spanish galeon or galon. I'm not sure. It means braid.
Okay.
It may also be a hyperbolic reference to the size of a hat or a combination of the two.
Okay.
I have a 10-gallon gut.
Anyway, a 10-gallon hat holds 3/4 of 1 gallon. So that's very misleading.
Can't believe we just killed a minute and a half on this podcast. This. Go ahead.
But they're getting better because that was only number three of my heretofore unknown facts, Jack. Number two, the most common surname on the globe is Wang, W-A-N-G. Everybody Wang Chung tonight. 107 million people in the world have the surname Wang.
Wow.
And to put that in perspective, the number one surname in the U.S. continues to be Smith.
Yeah.
With 4.5 million, less than 20% of Wang. How about that? So if Smiths and Wangs get together, the Wangs are like just feeling their oats, you know, because they're dominating.
See how many Codys there are worldwide.
Oh, probably not many. And they're all in Montreal.
This has been the Wang Count by the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
That's right. Wanging it.
Wow.
Now, this, my number one fact, Jack, is this fascinated me. Okay. A little over a century ago, Pepsi Cola was named after dyspepsia, the medical term for indigestion, because the soda was thought to have some medicinal qualities. But the original name was not Pepsi, okay? The soda was invented by a pharmacist named Caleb Bradham, and the original name of Pepsi was Brad's Drink.
That's right. That's
Brad.
As I said, it sounds like something we'd name for you.
Brad.
Brad. Did you all know that? That Brad's drink was what Pepsi was first called.
Brad.
That's right.
That's the origin of your sound.
I mean, Pepsi gig. Does make you Brad.
Correct. That's exactly right.
Brad's drink.
Caleb Bradham, we would like to thank you for your invention. It's really cool.
And this has been Three Facts Jack.
Three Facts Jack. Yeah, Three Facts Jack. I like that. Yeah, you're an idea man. I'll give you that. Let me sneak in a dad joke of the week here. Get it out of the way.
You were just
we're
on
doing,
one.
We're
today.
Doing all of our end of episode stuff that filler right at the beginning because we got to make room. We know we have to make a lot of room for Dan Le Batard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of room. If he makes it back in Key West on time. Who do all Catholic dogs pray to?
The dog father?
That's a pretty good answer, but it's wrong. The answer is Saint Bernard.
Oh, this.
That's.
I wanted more of a pun, but oh well. That works. It makes sense.
Saint Bernard. Saint Bernard. Okay, what do you call a monkey
that
wins
one.
The
wow.
sporting event?
Wow, a free dad joke.
Yeah, it is. What do you call a monkey who wins a sporting event?
The champion.
Correct.
Yes!
That's correct. Damn you. Okay, I want to do a bonus dad joke
Please,
of the week in
no,
honor.
Just, can we
no, no.
Okay.
This is in honor of Dan Le Batard, in case he ends up appearing on our podcast as we're advertising that he will.
Why don't you save it for him then?
Okay, I will. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I will save it for him.
Okay. All right. Yeti, remind us, put a note in your phone for when we interview Dan later.
Okay. Just and let that be the whole thing. Thanks, Dan, for coming up for this dad joke of the week. We'll catch you next time.
That's correct. That's all we're going to have him on for. Me telling a dad joke of the week. Thank you, Dan. We appreciate you being on with us. I want to, speaking of reminding and everything, you know what occurred to me the other day is that we have completely forgotten that this was a Hard Knocks season for Greg's Lobos. We've completely forgotten that. We just haven't done it.
No, we just missed November. We did one on for Halloween.
Despite all the fanfare, we still have just...
Maybe the Lobos can go caroling.
Yeah, you know what? Let's have a Greg Lobos Hard Knocks for the Christmas season. Like, maybe we'll do it next week. I'm whetting the appetite because I know
that's... Are we on the air or are you having a show meeting? I'm confused.
No, we're on the air. We're absolutely on the air. Christopher, I want to mention the U.S.-Netherlands match in a minute because it was just such a downer. But first, I have to blow my own horn.
Right on.
While also making fun of myself, okay? Mm-hmm. I have been nominated for a writing award from the National Sports Media Association.
Wow.
I'm one of the finalists for Florida Sports Writer of the Year. Now, and the NSMA is a legit organization.
Who are you competing with?
Barry Jackson is actually a finalist as well.
Oh, B-Jax.
From the state of Florida, I said, right? Yeah. Florida Sports Writer of the Year, yeah. But here's the thing. Here's how I'm making fun of myself, okay? I am one of 650 nominees nationwide.
So it's not nationwide, it's statewide.
No, here's the format. The format is they nominate as many as 10 or at least 10 writers or broadcasters from each state. Okay, and I made the top 10 from the state of Florida.
That's what I want to hear. How many people do you know on that list of Florida?
I don't have the list in front of me.
You're going at this with such low energy that it's taking a while to get where we need to go.
Well, Barry Jackson made it, and I congratulate my colleague Barry, although I hope I beat him. But, you know, one of 650. I mean, come on, it's ridiculous. Once I found that out, I'm like,
How about there still being 650 writers out there?
I know. You're right. That's exactly right.
That's all that's there. So everyone got nominated, but still, how about it?
Right.
Yeah, that's honestly really cool, though. Like, there's hundreds of writers in every state, and you made like someone's list of top 10. Like there are hundreds of, there are still hundreds of local journalists.
Oh, true.
In the state of Florida, like writing for papers and stuff.
Right. You're right. And they're all legit. Like, all the people nominated from Florida are legit.
Well, they did nominate you.
That's true. That's fair. There should be a category, a hybrid category that includes people like me who are primarily writers, but who also are on the air, like doing podcasts and appearing for this. And
that's what you're like, what's up, Barry? What up, B-Jax? Where's your podcast?
The Gag.
Or does he have a podcast with the Herald?
No, he does not.
Hey, if a tree falls in the woods.
At least I don't think he does. I don't believe he does.
What does that mean?
I don't, you know, I don't monitor everything. Who's got the time? But speaking of monitoring everything, we were at the U.S. Netherlands World Cup match the other day.
No, we weren't. We were not in Qatar.
Well, I mean, we were watching it at a local bar. I was hammering Bloody Marys at 9 a.m.
My dad was putting on a clinic on how to annoy your wife before 10 a.m.
Well, she was in an annoyed mood.
I mean, mom showing up for her first World Cup game, swooping in the quarterfinal or in the game to get to the quarterfinal, doing work.
Yes, right.
Nothing gets a vibe going for a U.S. soccer game at 9:30 a.m. than your mom billing. Right.
That's exactly right.
Wait, so she was at the bar actually working?
We weren't at the bar. We were at a table at a bar. We got a big table. We had like 8 people showing up. My parents showed up first, so it was like them at a big table, and I show up expecting high fives and, you know, let's do this today. And my mom looking up from her work like, hey, what's up? Your car's a mess. She like saw me drive by and like told me my car was a mess. And then continued to do, work.
Yes. And left at halftime, by the way.
And then started criticizing my dad just for existing.
Oh, boy, was she letting me have it. It was unbelievable. I don't even remember what we were talking about, but it was just one of those moves.
Because like they had it was a lunch place that was open early for the World Cup game. So they tried to put together a menu and they had Billionaire's Bacon. And you know, it's like kind of like maple flavored seasoned bacon, whatever. And so we ordered it because it was literally like the only thing they had. And my mom says midway through it, I'm not really a bacon. Bacon and me have not been getting along recently, my mom says. And my dad goes, really? Right. And my mom looks at my dad like, I've told you that 6 times in the last month. And then
it's true.
So like they have a moment where my dad's like, you're right. My dad's like, you have told me that. Actually, that's on me.
Wise play.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just like, you know what? That's on me. And then I shit you not, Yeti, like a sitcom. A minute and a half later, with the genuineness that you could not make up, my dad goes, I think I'm going to make some bacon tomorrow. He's like, this bacon is so good. I'm going to He's like, I need to recreate this. Like, and he meant it so genuinely. And I looked at him and I'm like, Dad, are you doing a bit right now? And he's like, what? I'm like, Mom just said that bacon hasn't been sitting well with her. My mom is just looking at him like she could pierce him with her eyes. It is like,
it's true.
It was fantastic.
Right. But I have to replicate that Billionaire's Bacon. If nobody's had it before, it's thick center cut bacon. It is glazed. It's sweetened. There's a sugary element, but there's also a little bit of a kick to it. I think what it is it's,
It's got like pepper. It's got like maple syrup.
Yeah, it's like, I think the combination is browned sugar and crushed red pepper.
Yeah.
And it's just such a combination. And I'm going to eat a half a pound of it for lunch. You know, your mother doesn't have to be involved because bacon not only agrees with me, bacon is like high-fiving me, slapping me on the back. Bacon, come on. We love bacon. We really do.
Dad, wasn't there another thing you did that was just like that with Mom? I can't think of it now, but like.
Okay. We were there 10 minutes before you got there. So we're ordering a couple of Bloody Marys.
Yeah.
Okay. And our server, who did not lead the league in waitressing, was really bad.
Yeah, she wasn't great.
And, you know, you got there 10 minutes later. You got your Bloody Mary before we got ours. Right. Why? Because
I didn't want
they were waiting for the olives.
Yeah. My parents wanted the full, like, you know, celery stick olives. And I just was like, whatever. I don't need olives. Just give it to me. And she gave me mine, like, right away.
Right. And after a time, your mother got totally impatient and just done with it all. And she spins on her heel. She gets ready to storm to the bar herself.
No, first of all, Dad, I love that you're putting this on Mom. You were just complaining so much that Mom was just like, I'm going to just to shut this guy up. I'm going to I'm going to go up there and say, we don't care about the olives. We'll just take them because.
Right. And that's what she said to me.
But it was because of you. This wasn't Mom getting fed up with the wait. It was Mom getting tired of you complaining and is like, I need to just go. I have to get back to billing. So I need to.
Right.
Go just shut Greg up and go get the bloodies.
Right. And what she got mad at me.
Because you stopped her because you complain. She gets up to go get the Bloody Marys and you're like, what are you doing? No, I don't want them without. You were like, I want to wait for the olives. I just want to sit here and complain. Like, I don't want them without the olives. I want them to get my olives. Like, you know.
Exactly. And why wouldn't I?
How necessary are they? You know, I don't drink, so how necessary are the olives?
It adds like a salty note to it. Like, you know, those things add a little flavor, but they're mostly just for the aesthetics of it, in my opinion.
Yeah. And when it finally came correct, it had the olive in it. It had two olives, which is nice. And it had a beautiful stick of celery with the leaves on top, which was great. And then it also, unexpected, unusual, there was a slice of bacon.
Bacon in it. Oh, and that just made my mom so happy. So
it and the idea of cold bacon, it sounds awful. But cold bacon in a Bloody Mary is nice.
Cakin'.
Okay. No, I love that. But what I didn't love is that the U.S. soccer team really disappointed, I thought.
Matt Turner, we're recording this Sunday. Matt Turner, the day after the loss, is on the set with the Fox Sports 1 guys. He was good, man. I'm excited. I saw a list. I know, like, they lost. We can cover that. But the fact that all, like, you look at the roster of all the main contributors on this team, everyone's, like, going to be back next one. Like, this next World Cup, and when it's in, and it's in the United States, I know it's in Canada and Mexico too, but this is our chance. Dad, we need to we have to go travel a lot for these.
I want
to
do that. I do. And some of the matches are going to be at Hard Rock Stadium right in our backyard. I doubt if a U.S. match is going to be here. Doubt it very strongly, but still.
Why? Why do you doubt that?
I have a feeling the U.S., the marquee matches, Brazil, U.S., Germany, I think those are going to probably be, in LA or New York. I'm just surmising.
I would say the big three places. I mean, I guess Texas Stadium could be one. Like,
right.
I feel like the U.S. could be. I mean, Miami could be a hub for one group.
No, you could. Yeah, you could be right. And thanks to Joe Robbie, Hard Rock Stadium was built with professional soccer in mind. It's a beautiful pitch. It really is. One of the great soccer stadiums in the country.
Did you just want to say pitch? Like, what happened there? I feel like you shoehorned in that word.
I'm flexing.
Yeah.
I'm flexing on the pitch. You know, you don't have to be Whittingham to flex your soccer knowledge. You know, you can do it without being having a veneer of effetery.
Halftime.
Exactly.
You know, Greg, I do have an idea about the bacon. You could always just save it for, you know, next Friday when I just happen to show up on your doorstep and, you know, to record the beginnings of our Moss episode.
This is exciting. We should talk about it. We should preface and explain that we are going to, the three of us, we can have a group hug next episode.
Yeah.
How about
we
us?
May record ourselves having a group hug and just let that sink in.
Like, Yeti could have three legs. And I don't know.
Okay.
Hey.
That's a very odd visual. Very right odd on. Statement.
Go ahead.
right on.
You know, that's what I'm saying. I'm excited to see whether he does or not.
It is going to be a kumbaya moment for the podcast. It's going to be a special thing, and we're all going to go to Moss. And I want, when Levitard comes on, I keep teasing Levitard's eventual appearance on the podcast, even though I have very little confidence that he's going to come through for me. But
at the very least, we'll get him to send us like an audio clip. A 10-second audio clip.
That's right. Just so we can advertise that he's been on. No, we'll talk to him a little bit about Moss as well. And I want to talk to him about some other stuff, including the Dolphins 49ers game, which is the Dolphins' biggest December game in 2 years.
Can you believe that game? How about that game?
Yeah, no, what a game. The result surprised me. I gotta tell you.
Yeah.
Shocking.
You just sounded like, what's the guy? I got to tell you. But my dad, who's that old like comedian? Like,
oh, Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, that's a decent, decent Dangerfield by me.
Well, your Dangerfield was sounded a little bit like the broadcast Harry Carey.
No,
you had a little Harry Carey in your Dangerfield.
Yeah, that's Harry Carey. I gotta tell you, man. Hey, what are you talking about?
Okay,
that's my
take my wife, please. That's a passable. Yeah. No, you have a pretty good.
It's the first time I've ever done it. I'm a decent mimic.
Look,
yeah, you are actually.
But back to Moss real quick. We haven't talked much about this, and I just, if you haven't bought your tickets, you got to go now because they're running out.
Yeah,
I will be there. This is your chance to see the Greg Cody toe with Greg Cody. I will be there not only with the Greg Cody show with Greg Cody, but I will also be playing live.
Yes.
That's exciting.
Me and Andrew Streeter, Cincinnati Lou, and my friend Dwayne. We've got a band.
Wow.
Band, man. What's the, what a scoop for Greg Cody. Didn't you break that story, Dad?
Greg broke that story.
How'd you find out that Yeti was going to be there?
You know, I don't know.
Can't reveal his sources, I guess.
Can't reveal my sources. But I appreciate the name of the band. It's called Yeti and the Flaming Coaties. So that's that's a big thrill for me to be included in the band.
Not what they're like called that. At all. Dad, are you going to... We don't want to reveal what songs Yeti's performing, but are you going to be like, you know, a hype man for like, you know, for the band out there?
I think it'd be great. If I were given the honor, I would actually introduce the band. And then I'm the Warmack. I'll be going, oh, I found this interesting as the Warmack. Oh,
no. He Bogarts the mic from Adnan.
Yeah.
But we've got a couple other listeners that are performing. We've got Rage Against Twitter is going to do a number. We've got Christy Yamaguchi Main's going to do a quick song. And then the band jumps on. It's going to be great.
Wow. I'm excited. I'm excited to see.
And I will tease. This is because Moss is the only place you're going to be able to hear this. There is a special Moss Miami verse to Pebble Drive.
Yeah, that's where I was. I didn't know if we were going to reveal that. I was like, Dad's got to be out there. Maybe crowd surf during that. I don't know. We'll figure it out. I don't think this will surprise anybody that knows Yeti, but Yeti is taking this very serious. And this is not just hitting play on a track and singing karaoke. When he says he has a band, he's bringing Streeter and the crew, and they are actually going to be playing this music. So, and I bet they're going to crush it. So I'm excited to hear.
Yeah, I am too.
Yeah, man.
I am too.
This will be the first time I've played original music on stage in 17 years, last of which was also with Andrew Streeter.
Wow.
So it's been really exciting to practice and play live music with somebody. Cincinnati Lou is on his way over to my house.
Wow.
And we're going to practice tonight. It's going to be great.
He's coming from Cincinnati.
Yes, of course, because Cincinnati... Decatur, Georgia. This is going to be fun. We've got a practice space we're renting. We really want to make sure this is a good show for everybody.
Right. And next week's episode is going to have a lot of live stuff from Moss Miami and probably a snippet of the live performance by Yeti and all that stuff.
So buy a ticket. You might be able to yell in the background of the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
That's right.
Because we're going to definitely be doing next week's episode. It's going to start before Moss and then kind of the rest of it, most of it will be at Moss. Yeti will be walking around talking to people. I'll be talking to people. My dad, like, we're going to be doing a chunk of next episode from Moss. So if you can't be at Moss, check out next week's episode because you will get a full experience of what it's like to be at Moss.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I want to thank everyone who bought something from shop.thegregcodyshow.com during our sale. If you did something during our Black Friday sweepstakes, we'll be in touch this week.
Yes, dear.
About a Zoom happy hour.
Yeah. So. A Zoom.
That's terrific.
Did I say Zoom?
No.
Okay.
But you said during.
During. I did say during.
During.
You know, you think someone who's a fan of the U would appreciate my accenting the U, but you know, I guess you might be a fake fan.
America. During. We say during.
Burn.
That's right. We call it soccer and we say during.
Well, should we take a break and get ready for Dan?
We have to. You got to get ready for Dan. If you're not ready, he'll steamroll you.
Plus, Greg Cody's late on assignment for the Herald.
I know. Geez, I got to do that. You're right. Geez, thanks for the reminder.
Let's talk some Moss and football with Dan Lebatard.
Football.
All right, let's go. Hello.
Hey, Dad.
Hey.
Do you guys always start like this where he's just confused by the Zoom? Does every episode start with him every single week being confused by the Zoom?
His latest thing is not realizing his camera's off. So he'll do like the first 5 minutes of the podcast with us just seeing his name.
Yeah.
And he's like, what do you mean? What do I click? The same button as every week, Dad.
Well, you know what? I'm fried right now because these Sunday games off TV, you know, trying to meet a print deadline. It's just ridiculous. I can sing the blues about my job, but
because it's made more difficult because he refuses to take his laptop from his office and bring it into the living room. So he's walking back and forth.
No, but Chris, the best part of this is these Sunday afternoons off the TV. Like, he doesn't have to get his ass anywhere. He didn't have to fly to San Francisco. He had to get up and turn on his television.
Yeah, and even that's difficult sometimes, especially when my wife's not home.
I can't wait to see the energy you bring after going to Buffalo in a couple weeks.
You're going to Buffalo? You're going to go to Buffalo.
You're going to go to Buffalo with Bernie Pomley. That's exactly right. But Greg, enough about me.
Greg, your energy stinks. You got to pick it up. You. It's your podcast. Yeah, pick up your energy.
Yeah.
Why would anyone want to listen to this if you sound like you don't want to be here?
No, they're going to listen to it at 1.8, which I always recommend because it makes me sound younger, more vivacious. You got to listen to it at 1.8.
Just be at 1.8.
I'm good. I'm good. Let's get this started because we've already started.
We started five minutes ago.
Dan Levitard Show featuring Stu Gatz is with us today. So thank you very much, Dan, for joining us. How about that? Oh my God.
You should have said the Stu Gatz Show featuring Dan Levitard.
Chris, look at your father. He's winded. He's 3 minutes into the podcast. I know. He's winded as if he ran a marathon.
I just wrote an entire column in 25 minutes. That makes me winded.
Without even watching the game.
And this is his second recording of the entire day.
Yeah, we did some of the episode earlier to make this lift lighter. So thank God we don't have to do 40 minutes. We just need 15 here.
That's true. Dan, what did you think of the Dolphin game? Let's start there because I want to tell you my quick take, my quick synopsis.
Your quake.
The Dolphins in 5 wins in a row have earned enough faith to withstand this one loss, which is a totally predictable loss. I wrote in my prediction column that this defense without Miami's 2 starting offensive tackles was going to be a nightmare for Tua and Nick Bosa. And it's exactly what happened. What were your thoughts on the game?
You say it's predictable, but I would say to you that every Dolphin fan, once Garoppolo leaves the game, you're like, wait a minute. Once you're close at 23-17, San Francisco hasn't allowed second half points in 4 straight games, and then Tyreek Hill again goes deep, and he's the most unstoppable receiver in a league that includes Justin Jefferson, another 150 yards. It's disappointing to lose that one, but understandable to lose that one. And Greg, one of the things that's always interesting to me about football is we spend so much time analyzing this, and then your team's hurt, and you lose because your team's hurt, because you can't block them. But San Francisco beat the Dolphins with its backup quarterback, and if you're going to beat the Dolphins in the playoffs, it's going to look like that.
Yeah,
that's what it's going to look with Tua getting pressure, Tua making a few mistakes, Tua. I don't even blame him for what it is that happened there, but you saw the difference between the last 7 games that team has played and how much time he has and how much time he didn't have in this one.
For sure. Terron Armstead is by far their best lineman. He wasn't in there. Tua was inaccurate, unlike him, even before the interception ended his streak of, I think, 194.
That wasn't his fault. The receiver slipped. It was the one to Hill was his fault. Come on, man. Like, he spoiled us. It's been like 2 months since he made throws like that.
Correct. He had a 5-game streak that was up there with anything Marino did in his heyday. 194 passes in a row without a pick. Pinpoint accuracy. Today, he was overthrowing guys. He just was not accurate. But some of that is Nick Bosa in his lap all afternoon. It was a reality check for the Dolphins. But nobody thought they were a top-tier team. I think coming into this game and coming out of this game, everybody thinks the Dolphins are a second-tier team, a playoff good team. But more than that, we don't know.
Purdy could be the next Brady, too. We haven't, you never know.
Please stop that. Please stop that.
Brock Purdy.
Could have walked in. Purdy, want a cracker?
I want ESPN to fire you again right now.
Yeah, I do, too. I really do.
You don't know that he's not going to go on to be the next
Tom Brady. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I know. As we sit here right now, I know, and I would bet your life on it.
I'm watching a highlight. Looks decent. Come on. Decent footwork.
He's not going to be Brady. This is, Greg, this will get lost, okay, because they lost the way they did at the end of the game. But the coach of the Miami Dolphins, the first coach in the history of the Miami Dolphins, who's willing to go for it on 4th-and-1 from his own 18-yard line because he's got no fear whatsoever of, I'm going to get a yard with my offense. If I'm in 4th-and-1 under any game situation, I'm not afraid of it. God, do I love that. I have been waiting so long for someone to coach like that. And they've got the coach in the league, the one willing to do that.
Yes.
There's not a coach in the league who 23-17, fourth and one from his own 18 goes for it. Not right. One coach.
Yeah. And like Tyreek says, he needs a wheelbarrow to carry his balls, which is true. I mean, he's crazy.
It's not true.
Well, you know, it's not literally true, but as a figurative,
he would have elephantitis of the balls if it was literally true. It would it would be something that we would really have to cover better than we have if he needed really a wheelbarrow to carry his balls.
Yeah, he would need that on the sideline. They would have a special assistant coach
instead of the get back coach. He'd have a balls coach and a get back coach.
That's correct.
The old balls coach.
The old balls coach.
When Christopher said earlier that that Purdy was going to be the next Tom Brady,
I just put it out there. I'm not telling you how to think.
I can't let that go by without using my lame line, which is that was a pretty ridiculous comment you made. I mean, we can't afford to lose a game show sound. So it just sits.
The silence is better. The silence is better.
Dan, I want to talk about Moss Miami. This is the fifth one, and it's always exciting for me because we feel like rock stars when we're there. The fans are so great. And is it true that I came up with the idea for these Moss Miamis? Because I believe it is. I think it is. Yeah. I'm just curious if Dan remembers that conversation we had.
Not in any way true.
Okay. I think it was. I think we were in the studio one day during a commercial break. And I said that you should do some sort of a concert thing or just something involving music and art. I maybe I'm hallucinating.
You are, I believe it's dementia, it's delirium. It was my brother's idea. He's an artist.
Right. Okay. So he came up with the idea. I would have had he not, but enough about me. Do you get nervous before these Moss Miamis? Because it's a big undertaking. I don't think people realize how many months, how many people go into producing this thing. Can you just give people an idea? Because it doesn't just happen all of a sudden.
There are a lot of work. I've had to do less of the work this time because we have a company around it. But I have been out there, you know, putting together Papa Shot machines so that so that people can
Papa Shot
enjoy themselves. And what we like to do, it really is something. In all of them that we've done, we've broken even a couple of times and we've lost money on the others because we have not treated this as a responsible business. We're trying to throw a party that shows South Florida and Miami how grateful we are for the fact that they made us a national and international entity. And so you say that we feel like rock stars, but the point of the whole thing is for people to get to interact with, a show that exists as an intimacy in a new medium that's a different medium where you feel like we're your friends or the friends in your head, we're the people who are running with you on long runs or long drives, or if you've got a bad job, you're working in a job that's boring and we make it go by faster. Like, that's a real intimate space that we spend time with you in. And so it's real moving to us to be able to share that with the audience because it's such an absurd way to make a living. And I can't be more grateful for it.
What?
Good timing by both of you. I mean, like you've been family all your life, the way that you work together. It's like watching dance from partners who have worked together for 50 and 60 years.
That's the beauty of editing.
Still, there it is again. That's not going to get edited.
It's a coordinated effort to kill the show.
That's right.
Go ahead,
Grizzor.
You love the attention, Dad. Like, no one loves this night more than Greg Cody. If there's a line of six people at one point in line to take a picture with you, there's just no one who loves that more than Greg Cody.
Right. Well, I'll be thinking, why is there only six? But your point is well taken.
I can't wait for our show this week to make fun of you in a way that is loud and uproarious because I believe last week with your Moss Miami article for the Miami Herald that you did more to kill journalism than anyone I've ever seen.
Yeah, thank you.
When in an article written by yourself, you quoted yourself talking about a toenail of yours that is rotten and black and going to be on display at Moss Miami. Like, how are you not ashamed of yourself as a journalist, as someone who studied journalism?
There has been some blowback within the Miami Herald.
You heard from the Herald on that.
Well, the Herald, look, we're all click whores.
Clores.
And anytime I write about Levitard, it tends to do pretty good traffic. But the Herald at the same time is like, why are we shilling for the, you know, why is he writing this in the third person? He's writing a story. He's quoting himself.
I mean, it is. But I mean, it's all fair questions. This is a newspaper that ended the presidential campaign of Gary Hart. You ended journalism with an article quoting yourself about your rotten toenail. Like,
okay. I can't take the credit for ending journalism with that. I mean, it had already ended itself. But, you know, it was a good quote. If we're going to go down in flames, let it be with a good quote. I just hope I remember, and it's right up here. I got to put it somewhere. I have to remember the toenail. I have to
that would bring be funny. The toenail. Dad, we're sending you home for it. There's a whole. We have a whole pedestal we're building.
Could somebody remind me to bring that?
If you forget the toenail, we will sever the one off of your other foot.
Yeah, which is worse. Oh, my God. The one on my other foot is the greatest ever, the worst ever. And so that would be a good sub, actually.
Is it blacker? Is it blacker, darker, more poison?
No, it isn't, but it's totally misshapen. It's like... comes up in a point on the upper right hand side, and it's always getting snarled in my socks and everything.
That's for next Moss, though. This toenail is for this Moss.
Yeah. Okay. Yeti, what would you like to ask Dan? Anything?
Well, I want to know, Dad, first, where if there was a music festival ish sheet for Moss Miami, where's your toenail, Dad, do you think, on that?
You mean on the highlights of what people are going to see? Up?
Like, is it third line? Like, do people, like, you know, where's your toenail on this?
Oh, I see what you mean.
Never been to a music festival, so I don't think you know what I'm
saying. No, I have. I see what you mean. I think I rank very high. Yeah, I think my toenail and G Love would be on the same line.
Wow.
Yeah. I will say.
Wow, you're the headliner.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the toe liner.
Look, I'm in a group chat, and someone's husband asked her to ask someone who's coming to Moss, is he going to see the toenail? Like, people are excited, and they said, that's the only reason I'm going.
You hear that, Dad? You hear that?
That's correct.
The Greg Cody toe with Greg Cody will be on full display at Moss Miami.
The Greg Cody toe.
Chris, how frustrated are you, and Yeti, I'd like to ask you this question as well, at the general lethargy of your podcast host right now?
Yeah.
Just that
it's our Sunday. It's a Sunday staple with our, we do most of the podcast before Sunday night because I can't deal with this. So it's basically, we save like the last 10, 15 minutes for a Sunday night recap just because it's all I can take. And every time I'm always like, Dad, crank up the energy a little bit, and this is just what you get from Greg.
What is wrong with the way I'm speaking right now?
You just sound sleepy and bored, and the way that you decided to transition in the professional podcasting industry of I've got to be on my toes and entertain at all times is Yeti, did you have something you wanted to ask Dan? It's just lazy.
I have a sound to summarize it all.
Greg Cody.
What? I never heard of any of that stuff.
It's all.
Yeah, that's about right.
Look, I don't want to keep Dan forever. We'll let him go in a minute. I didn't want this to pass by without Yeti getting an opportunity. I've been dominating the conversation. I wanted to include him.
MossLevitard.com is where people go to get tickets. It's Saturday night. It's the biggest party we have ever thrown. We have kept the tickets very affordable. I don't think you can get Domino ticket. I don't think you can be in the Domino tournament anymore. And I think VIP is sold out as well. But the most affordable tickets we have are general admission. And I am promising everybody that we are going to give you more than what it is that you're paying for, because we pride ourselves on doing that. And this one is the one when we're doing it the most. This is the big party. This is the biggest party we've ever thrown. Wynwood Marketplace, Saturday night, 8 hours, Greg Cody's lethargy will not be what it is right now. He will be buoyant because one of the things that will be headlining is his narcissism.
Right. My toe, my narcissism.
Right on.
Right on. Right on. All right. Well, Dan, we love you like a pet. You know that. We always have. And we thank you for being on with us.
And now we're all going to go to sleep.
It's just so tiring to hear him. Like, it's just, he's got nothing left but like a couple of fumes for a couple of syllables.
That's why we have Yeti. If you like Yeti, hit some of the, like, we just have him do soundboard. We just have that. My dad is
Brad.
Yeah. See, like, we just, like, we have him. We're ready to go. Like,
I've been hearing your father belch that way. Okay. Since he was 30 years old, your father belches like that. Chris, I don't know if I knew your father. I must know. It wasn't before you were born. What age did you have, Chris, Greg?
87.
So how old
were you? 87 years old. That's
right. I was 87.
54, my dad was born, so 33, right? If I'm doing math.
Yeah, I was 33, yeah.
Okay, something, so like I may have known you before I knew Chris, and so I believe your way of belching, which is to belch and then just say, for reasons that are not discernible to me, the name Brad is something that you've been doing for 40 years.
40 Thank you. Years. Thank you for that.
That wasn't a compliment.
Oh, okay. I thought it was.
We caught that one in the wild. We haven't caught an ass wipe in the wild yet, but we caught the Brad in the wild.
You know the whole story of ass wipe?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we haven't caught that. Erlene came on and talked about that on our show. Yeah. And we haven't caught that one in the wild yet.
Yeah. There should be a Hallmark card for an anniversary like that, you know, saying Brad 40 years in a row. I feel like that's a first.
That wouldn't be much as a business. My guess is they wouldn't sell many of those.
Yeah, you're right. But I would buy all they had. That if there were like five in the rank, I would buy all of them.
Ass wipe.
That kind of thing. Dan, we'll see you in 5 nights at Moss Miami. I look forward to it.
F*** off.
All right. Nice chat with you.
See you guys later.
Later. See ya.
In one of the saddest payoffs in podcasting history, Dad, we forgot to do the dad joke of the week with Dan Le Batard that you teased earlier in the episode. So do it now. Do it now with just you and I.
Yeah, you're right about that. Well, Dan spent the week in Key West, which I love. I love Key West. And so I curated, I specifically tailored a dad joke of the week to Dan in honor of his having been in Key West. So the dad joke of the week is, what's the best way to have fun in Key West?
Get drunk.
Hemingway.
Yeah.
That's it?
Wow. I'm glad that we didn't keep Dan around for that, if I'm being honest.
No, I think he would be roaring with laughter.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. That kind of thing. Good night, everybody.